Well, Winston Peters has just returned from overseas, and I do thank him for joining us at short notice this morning. Te rangatira, kia ora anō, hoki mai. Great to have another kōrero.
Good morning, Dale.
Thanks for joining us. Firstly, about the plane, you've been aware of some shortcomings in investment in our Defence Force for many years, but as far as our number one man on the road, so to speak, for it to be sort of held up in, on the tarmac in Papua New Guinea, not a great look. What sort of imagery does this do as far as New Zealand's position in international diplomacy?
You're right about it not being a good look. Probably the solution is an unusual one, but this is a plane that's not being used enough. That's the expert advice I've got from people who know about aeroplanes. And sadly, that's just a case where we haven't taken the right steps, I believe, over a number of years to ensure that this plane, or those planes, are always on time, don't break down in the way that they have of late.
We've just hosted the Chinese Prime Minister as well. So this is very important. I know you've been offshore, and I might ask you about some of the highlights of your trip, but you're back for a few weeks. What about these high-profile politicians from China being in New Zealand? How important is this? And what do you think the upshot might be for New Zealand's production, maybe even more Māori producers on the land who might want to get more market share in China? How important was this visit?
Look, our trading relationships with every country are important. And this country has been since our first frozen meat shipment way back in the 1880s, dependent upon trade. And we have to get into the market more often, do more work, and any visit like that's important from wherever it comes. If we can expand our trade, it means people will get paid more, we'll have better jobs, we'll have more money to pay for the welfare system that we believe in.
Tēnā koe. We are seeing unprecedented numbers, and the demography of our country has changed significantly since you and I were young fellas, Winston. And the population makeup, seeing many, many more people coming into New Zealand from different countries, the Philippines, I note, more recently, certainly South Africa, Fiji, and waves from China. What would you say about our immigration policy? As many Kiwis opt to go offshore, we seem to be replacing them with a couple from those countries and others. What's your take on the immigration scene for us?
Well, you know, we have always had people leaving for overseas experience, but they're not going overseas now for short-term experience. They're going, many of them, permanently or for a lengthy period of time because the economic returns are greater for them. It's a failure of our economy over a long period of time. When we went down the pathway of what you might call a capitalist revolution in the 1980s against Australia, we went backwards. That's irrefutable. And as a consequence, we have people saying, I can get paid far more, 35% more if I go somewhere else. And they're going. And we're not addressing that. And at the same time, we don't have a focused immigration policy in the way that the OECD has been saying we haven't had it for a long time either. We took on 132,000 net last year, but no one knew about it in that 2023-year period. And the question becomes, well, what sort of plan did we have to replace the people that were leaving? And the answer is no plan at all.
Are you across what's happening at Manurewa Marae? Have you got any thoughts there?
Yes, I do have. And I'm looking at one of New Zealand's most well-known political families, but mainly because of their military service in terms of Sir James Henare. I'm looking at someone who, on the facts of the matters I can see them now and the details I can see now, whilst not coming to a conclusion, screams out that he may have been robbed of his seat. I'm talking about Henare here. This is just so wrong, and I don't understand why the Labour Party didn't do something about it last year.
And at the moment, it's mainly innuendo. John Tamere and the Māori Party say, well, look, show us some evidence and then we'll discuss the point. Are we jumping the gun, you and I, by discussing this one, do you think?
No, we're not jumping the gun at all. The questions are being asked legitimately. And there are too many people there who are witnesses to what happened here and making complaints like, such as, oh, these allegations or these comments are only racist, are just disgraceful in the context of the fact that we live in a democracy and everybody's entitled to it, and in the same way that everybody who was voting Labour in that seat was entitled to democracy and they didn't get it. That's what the suspicion is now. And I want to know what the authorities were doing when they were being given information that was critical, not just the process of assembling the electoral rolls, but with the process on the day. And there are all sorts of matters in the electoral law which you've got to abide by. One of them is, of course, you cannot take charity money in the way that the Party Māori did. They took $350,000 of taxpayers' charity money, and no one's asking for the authorities for the day of accountability. It just screams that there's one rule for the Party Māori, and for the rest of us, and as a party that went through three serious Ford Office cases that were baseless and costing the taxpayer $4.2 million against us. I know what I'm talking about here, and I think it's just so wrong that we've got these different criteria of being applied to different political parties. In this case, it's being applied against a Māori, well-known name in the terms of Henare, and it says to me that there's something dramatically wrong when no one cares that the rightful outcome of the election actually happened.
Well, it's going to be interesting how that pans out. Look, Shane has been a very effective 2IC for you, Winston. And when I look at these four names, the thing they have in common is that they've all been with Labour. Shane, John, Willie, Penny. Would you like them all to join New Zealand First and bolster your attack?
You know something? I'm very happy with the team I've got.
So that's a big no. I'll mention it to John later this morning that the door's shut in New Zealand First.
No, I didn't say any door's shut. I just said a positive thing about my team.
Right. And I'll tell Willie that, I don't think Winston really wants you. Willie, would that be a fair description of our kōrero?
Well, actually, I never thought you were going to ask the question. I didn't know that Willie's trying to phone you up.
Hey, you've just been overseas for, all over the place. You're hard to follow sometimes because you're, stepping through so much mahi. What stands out for you about this most recent trip away? And obviously, anything you can share with our predominantly but not exclusively Māori audience today about potential upshots from your visits?
Oh, look, we went to Vietnam, Malaysia, then the Philippines, then Timor-Leste, to make their reconnection as fast as we possibly could. I can tell you now that in the space, take that Christmas of 6 months, we've covered more ground than my predecessor covered in 3 years. And I'm not making a complaint about that because I don't think she wanted the job in the first place. But we're a country that's got to get out there and trade and work very hard to get our market expanded. And it was a very important trip. Emphasised by the fact that we got to see the top person everywhere and spend time with them. So it's hard work and very grinding time after day, day after day, but it's got to be done, and it's seriously important because we'll get an outcome from it. We have to get back, as I say, and understand, like Ireland, like Singapore, like Croatia, that we've got to put hard work into the field of exports, and that means people, feet, and personalities on the ground. And that's what we're doing.
Tēnā koe. Hey, thanks very much for taking a call on the hop. Let's hope that, I think the plane is up and running again now, so all our politicians can get back. You don't fly Air Force planes, do you? Do you go commercial?
Depends if we're flying in the Pacific. Last time I went, I used that Air Force plane to go to the Solomon Islands to see their new government just being formed just the day before that. Then on to Papua New Guinea, on to Vanuatu. Eventually we end up in Fiji and then home. it is working fine, but it has to be used more frequently. As I said, I was talking to an expert in this in Singapore, and he said, your plane's not being used enough. That's why it's not working.
Okay. You still enjoying this, Mucky? It seems a bit grueling when you talk about, you know, the calendar here, bouncing from pillar to post. How are you finding all the travel and the responsibilities, and what would you say the relationships that you're forming or shoring up?
Well, it's important work, you know, and you say it's grueling. Well, of course it is, but who on earth wants to retire when you've got a job to do?
Not me, and not you, quite obviously. No. Good on you. Okay, thanks very much. Thanks for sharing some time with us this morning.
Yummy.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. Winston Peters, Deputy Prime Minister, on his...